Well, good morning, everyone. You probably know we're going to be looking at Psalm 146 this morning. So if you'd like to have that somewhere handy, that would be good. We will be reading it together shortly. So if you'd like to turn it up, it's on page 632 in the Good Shepherd Mission Bibles. So we'll be looking at that in a moment. Now, I'm fairly sure that I've read somewhere that the Sunday after Easter used to be known as Low Sunday. And I think the reason for this was that there would be lots of celebration around Easter time and Easter Day. But then after that, a week later, it's a lot quieter and a sort of much quieter time on that Sunday. And I've come to think of the Sunday after the end of Fun in the Sun as being the Good Shepherd Mission's Low Sunday. Now, I'm also aware that not everybody's life fits around Fun in the Sun, and so also that you have holiday at other times, which is probably why you're here. So please just bear with that idea. But for some, after the hard work and excitement and all the thanks and the praise that we had last week, quite a lot of people have now gone away on holiday, and they're just having a time out before their lives get back together in September. So maybe this is our low Sunday, slightly few less people than usual. But I wonder what brings you here this morning. Maybe you come most weeks, or maybe you're a visitor here this morning. Maybe this is the first time you've ever been to this church. Whatever the reason, I'm really glad that you're here, so thank you for coming. Most weeks when we're together like this, we spend some of our time together singing praise to God and offering him our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Yet I guess while some may come with hearts full of praise, many of us come with doubts or disappointment and questions that we might have. We don't necessarily feel ready or able to sing out our hearts in thanks and praise to God. Now this morning, as I said, we're looking together at Psalm 146. And we're going to find there reasons for praising God, and particularly looking at two reasons. First, that he is the creator of all things, and secondly, that God is the champion of those who are weak. So let's look at the psalm now, and I'd like us to read it together. So if you'd like to turn that up, we'll say together, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Now, if you look across the page, you'll see that each of the last five psalms in the Bible, up to number 150, each begins and ends with the phrase, praise the Lord, or in the Hebrew, hallelujah. Now, hallelujah is a fusion of two words. The first part, hallel, meaning praise ye, and the last part, yah, being a shortened word for God, Jehovah. So hallelujah literally means praise ye the Lord. In the Old Testament, this phrase was used as a response in worship. Now, this was adopted in the Anglican prayer book, and among my earliest memories of being in a church service, I can remember when I was very young hearing the minister saying or chanting, "Praise ye the Lord," and then the response came from the congregation, "The Lord's name be praised." But why bother? Why, when we come together as a church in a meeting like this, do we spend time bringing our thanks and praise to God? This psalm is packed with reasons why God deserves our praise. And over the next few minutes, we're going to explore with the psalmist the good reasons we have for praising God. First, though, the psalmist warns us where not to put our trust. And so we read, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to their ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." The call to trust in God is first heightened by contrast. The psalmist urged the people of his day not to put their trust in earthly leaders. So where do we place our trust, our hope for the future? Who is it that we look up to? We've just recently got a new prime minister in this country, and with that almost I feel there comes a sense of hope. There's an expectation that he will do the right thing, that he'll get us on track. Yet our earthly leaders are mortal. I saw a glimpse on the TV the other day of a cross-examination of Tony Blair by other members of Parliament, and it was regarding his time in office. And one of them commented that on Tony Blair's tombstone there would be one word, and I expect you can probably guess what it was, Iraq. But Blair went on to refute that, as you can imagine. But he also said that he wasn't really concerned about what was on his tombstone because he himself would not be there to see it, which I thought was quite profound. Think of another national leader, Nelson Mandela, in South Africa. Nelson Mandela, a true hero in his own lifetime. From political prisoner and freedom fighter to becoming the first premier of the new South Africa. Yet, as we know now, he's a very old man. And one day, like all of us, he will fade and die. Do not put your trust in princes. Let's move now, though, to the focus of the psalm, where the psalmist gives us these two reasons for putting our trust in the Lord. First, because he is the creator of all things, and second, because he champions the cause of those who are weak. Looking at verse 5, "Blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever." Now, you may have seen on the TV last week, that Jamie Oliver has got a new series. And this week's programme apparently was all about homegrown tomatoes. Now, unfortunately, I missed the programme, but I'm pleased to report that in the Bishop household, we also have tomatoes growing in the garden. And it's amazing that children find this fascinating. Unfortunately, they can't resist picking the tomatoes before they're quite ready. But the fact that a tomato grows on a plant from a tiny seed seems incredible to them. Yet, as we know, the tomato grows that way because God planned it. The psalmist tells us that the Lord God made everything. So consider the complexity of the human body, or the splendor of the Himalaya mountains, the power of nature, as we've seen, raging in floodwaters, or just over the last few days, the warmth of the sun on your back. The Lord God planned all of these and made them. And for this, he deserves our awe, our wonder, and our praise. Secondly, then, in verses 7 to 9, we read how God champions the cause of those who are weak. And the psalmist highlights a number of examples. And so we read, "The Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed." Now just consider for a moment all the people around the world that are oppressed in some way. Well, the Lord God, our God, is concerned about them. Think of the Iraqi interpreter that was hired by the British Army in Iraq for his knowledge of English, to interpret for soldiers liaising with the local community. What does his future hold now, having served an occupying army? How will people think of him when the British Army have left? Yet he's been refused exile in this country, the country of the army that he served, and he's going to be left to his fate in Iraq. And how will that be for him? Yet we read here, "The Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry." The Lord God is also concerned about the hundreds of thousands of people around the world, many that live in war-torn regions that do not have enough food to eat. Maybe where there's food aid, but the food aid does not get to those who really need it. He also knows, is concerned about, people in this city of ours, in London, that are hungry, having fallen through the net of provision that exists here. Moving on then, we read, "The Lord sets prisoners free." Now, I think we can apply this not only to those in physical captivity, but also consider the other things that bind people as if they were captive. Think of all kinds of addiction: alcohol, drugs, smoking, pornography, eating disorders, accumulating wealth, or spending that is out of control. And being realistic, how easy it is for each of us to get caught in something like this. Yet be encouraged this morning. The Lord sets prisoners free. And moving on, the Lord gives sight to the blind. I went to a workshop this week and there was a person there who could not see. At the start of the workshop, the trainer invited each of us there to introduce ourselves, and he engaged with us a little bit about what our jobs were and why we were there. And yet when the guy who couldn't see stood up and introduced himself, it was almost as though he hadn't spoken. I don't know whether the trainer felt awkward about it, but he more or less just passed on to the next person. And I wondered how that must feel for somebody who is visually impaired. Yet we're reading of a God here who is able to restore sight to those who are visually impaired. And then, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. He lifts up those who are bowed down. I don't know what you're feeling this morning, but you maybe feel bowed down. Maybe you felt that way for a long time. Perhaps you're battling with any one of a number of things. Maybe feelings of guilt or depression. Or maybe you face a situation in your work that's really difficult. Or maybe you don't have work. Or perhaps a family situation or a relationship that has gone wrong. Or maybe perhaps you're just tired. But be encouraged, because it says here, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And finally here, we're just going to consider for a moment the fatherless. It talks about the fatherless. Who are the fatherless in our society today? We can think of children who are in care, who come from broken families. Yet also, what about people whose experience of having a father has been so bad that the pain for them is as though or worse than having been fatherless? Thinking here of people who've suffered at the hands of their fathers, either emotional, physical, or sexual abuse. Or what about the absent father who never affirmed you, who was present but effectively absent because of the way that they responded to you? And yet in this psalm, here we read again, God will sustain the fatherless. He is concerned about them. They're his priority, and he cares about them. And this is the character of the Lord our God. He's the creator of all things, and he's the champion of those who are weak. And these are good reasons for us to come together and to bring him our praise. Now, Christians believe that we can know God personally. His greatest gift to humankind is his Son, the Lord Jesus, whose death opened up for us the way into the presence of God. Now, it's to him that we bring our praise this morning. So let's praise the Lord. Amen.